Friedel Dicker Brandeis became an art teacher under extraordinary circumstances. She taught children in the Terezin concentration camp in Prague. A new exhibit, Through a Narrow Window, Friedel Dicker Brandeis and her Terezin students at the University of New Mexico Art Museum, examines the legacy of the artist. It includes works that span her student years at the Weimar Bauhaus to the last 21 months of her life in Terezin. It also includes 28 works by her students in the camp. Linny Wicks, the show's guest curator and author of a companion book to the exhibit, is an art therapist. 10 years ago, she began looking for artists who had come to art therapy through their art, rather than through the clinical side of the field. That's when she found Dicker Brandeis.
So that's how it started, but really how it transitioned was to understanding her work, because she was an artist and then became an educator, as you can see by the work here. Working in education, she came close to the edge of art therapy, because she was working therapeutically with these kids by witnessing and serving them through art. I kind of come from the other direction, from art therapy and getting close to art education.
Was she at all, before she got to Terezin, connected to art therapy, or did this evolve from her experience being in there?
I'd say it evolved from her experiences. Art therapy wasn't even a field at the time, or a discipline, or whatever one would want to call it. She knew she wanted to be a teacher. She knew she wanted to work with children, and that's why she left the life of a professional artist in the early 30s. She was working with children of political refugees in Prague, and then she worked with Jewish children who could no longer go to school. Those were her teaching experiences before the camp. In those things, part of her Bauhaus education was around giving form to the artist's ideas, feelings, whatever. And she took that giving form to all her teaching. That's kind of major, because she suggested providing materials and waiting for students to, through working with them, find and elaborate on their own form into what has become called in the art therapy arena, formed expression. And so that it's not just a kind of creative mass, which sometimes can become a creative mess, but is really working with the art part and the skill building part. And so in the camp, I think she really provided, you know, some very basic fundamentals for kids through the studies areas that you see here, the portrait study, the color study, the material studies. So through this studies approach, she provided fundamentals, which I think was probably very calming and a way of attending to them to help them settle. And she really held the space for them to do that. One of the women, who was a girl with whom I talked in Vienna 5 years ago, told me that Friedel didn't make them draw Terezin, and that she and that other teachers did, and that she herself, Helga, was really grateful for that. That Friedel had encouraged them to draw their memories, to think about things that they loved to do, and so on. She worked hard to provide a place for these kids to explore their own personal memories, dreams, reflections, ways to imagine into the future, because she wished mostly for them to have a dream come true. Her dream for them was to find freedom outside the camp.
Wicks said Dicker Brandeis gave a lecture while in Terezin that offers insight into her philosophy of teaching children art.
She also talked about, and another thing that's kind of been removed from us around art is the whole both idea and practice of, it's almost a bad word, beauty. Friedel talked again in her lecture about her work with children, about how when children are invited to explore and find and elaborate their own form, that helps them be courageous, helps them endure, helps them develop taste, all these things over time. And it provides for them access to beauty, which is much more than a visual thing, much more than a visual prettiness, even a visual beauty, but that involves compassion and respect, and so actually has an empathetic piece in there.
I know Terezin was set out to be a model camp. It was almost like a Potemkin's village. They let the Red Cross come in and put on this facade that it was fine and livable and beautiful, when we know actually it was just like any other concentration camp. But did that help her in terms of getting materials? Where did she get materials for them?
Interestingly, because she was teaching prior to going to Terezin, she actually packed some materials as part of her allowed amount of luggage. And then when she got there, she actually was assigned to be a camp artist. And Terezin had a lot of camp artists, many of whom were executed for drawing camp scenes. She actually asked to not be a camp artist, to become a child welfare worker. And she was allowed to be reassigned. And that's when she moved into House L410, which was a girls' home for Czech girls ages 10 to 16. After that, she got some of her materials, like paints and things like that, from people who were the Nazis' propaganda artists. Others, she was apparently scrounging much of the time. But for one thing, Czech citizens could receive a package every 3 months. And so, like in some of this incredible collage work, you'll see little bits of, everything's pretty small, but the colored papers and things are often wrapping papers and things that came in the package, that, you know, wrapped the packages that came. And then you'll see some, too, that are, the background is a military form, and that's a Czech military form, and that was a pretty available paper. So much of the children's work is on forms.
The children's work, how did that survive?
When Friedel came to the camp and became, and then started teaching the children, she was there for about 22 months. In September of 1944, her husband Pavel was taken on transport. He was taken to Auschwitz, and he was a carpenter, and so he was very useful. He survived the war. She wanted to find him, so she asked to be taken on transport. She didn't know for sure where she'd be going, but she was looking for him. She also was taken to Auschwitz, but prior to leaving the camp, she packed more than 5,000 children's works into 2 suitcases, and she hid the suitcases. That's why we have the work. The suitcases were found by the people who liberated the camp, and they were taken into the Jewish Museum in Prague, but then they were set on a shelf, and it was 10 years later, 1955, when somebody opened those suitcases.
So she was transported to Auschwitz, but she did not survive.
She was transported to Auschwitz. She traveled there with about 30 of her students. They left Terezin on October 6th of 1944. When they arrived, she, because she was then 46, so she was past being useful, most of her students were under 15, therefore they were not useful, and they were all sent on what my guide at Birkenau called the road to heaven, which was, they were sent directly down the road that went to the showers.
Wix recently received a poem by Edward Hirsch about the students' art called 2 Suitcases.
2 suitcases sat on a forgotten shelf collecting dust and waited to be remembered. But when the locks were unfastened, the drawings spilled over like a waterfall, and everyone was drenched. And then it ends with, whoever looks at these drawings shall stand under the waterfall and remember.
The descriptions of each picture in the exhibit usually include a child's name because Dicker Brandeis insisted they sign their works. Then there is a simple statement, survived or did not survive. Ella Weisberger did survive and was in Albuquerque for the show's opening. Weisberger was 11 when she went into Terezin on February 12, 1942.
Friedl came also in 1942, at the end of 1942, and it was given to her a little space in the children's home that if it's, you know, 70 centimeters our Lebensraum that we can live on. So the one bed fitted there where she was. But her beautiful art that she started to do in Terezin was hanging on sheets that she dyed and put the paintings up in her little, this little area, and we were able to enjoy her art and her stories that were very important about her teaching.
What kind of stories?
Mostly her travels. And she traveled also to Holland. And I was telling the story, you know. We did the wooden shoes. She would put them in center of the table and we would sit around. So each of us got different view of it. The same thing happened with my painting here.
Your painting here?
Yes. And you see, that time we didn't use color, only that she took a jar with water and little paint she mixed that everybody can use it. This is mine.
Mm-hmm.
This is a girl that lived with me in the room. She didn't survive. And the one up, she survived, but she was next room to ours. And she is ceramist now. And she did in underground in Prague, the wall from ceramics. Everybody almost who was at Friedl's class kept something what she was teaching.
Were you with a number of people your age who then did not survive the camp?
We were left from 30 girls, 4 in the room. I didn't bring it, but we had a flag that we tore in 4 pieces. And we said, end of the war, we will meet in Prague on the main ring, and we will put the flag together. I lost my with all the travels, so we have only 1/4 of the original flag, but I made the flag how it looked before, and the quarter, I put it over it. We couldn't put it together, but we are still coming together, the 10 of us, every year.
What do you think the most important thing you got from Friedl?
Not to give up on anything what I'm planning to do. If I can do something around art, like illustration, what I knew when I was 13, what it's illustrating, you know. And another thing, to be helpful to other people and to be friendly. This was she for teaching us.
Weisberger has been featured in documentaries about Terezin and in Steven Spielberg's Survivors of the Shoah visual history project. She says the modest fame for Friedl Dicker Brandeis is a far cry from earlier days.
For many years, nobody was speaking about it. Nobody knew Friedl till I started really to talk a lot about her.
Weisberger wrote a poem about Terezin that will be part of a feature film on her life.
And so it's you and I, and we are friends, and you and I, and we love each other. In Terezin we met, friends in need, hand in hand, and you and I, friends we still be, and you and I shall never forget. So I always finish that to remember my friends that they are not here. But Susan Kander from Kansas City, that her uncle is the big songwriter and cabaret, and she heard me and she made a big chorale over my poem that is now in public. So now they do My Life in Hollywood. I said, don't make it like in Hollywood. And I introduce them to Susan, and they will use it in my film. And I hope that they succeed.
But even without a Hollywood film, Weisberger takes comfort in making sure young people know about Terezin and Friedel Dicker Brandeis.
Yeah, it was very nice to meet you.
It was nice, really, that, you know, now I can die very peacefully because I know that there is generation that will continue to remember.
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Through a narrow window, Friedel Dicker Brandeis and her Terezin students will be on display at the University of New Mexico Art Museum through March 13th. For more information, go to unmartmuseum.unm.edu or call 505-277-4001. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamerick.